Blog Talk Radio.
Nothing. I ain't gotta worry about nothing. Nothing. I ain't gotta worry about nothing.
In the presence of my enemy.
Nothing. I ain't gotta worry about nothing.
Lord, I'm so glad that you have joined me once again. This is Minister Faith Reed-Liburd with Vision, with Vision. Our topic for tonight is Prayer is Your Greatest Weapon, Part 4. We're looking at Sarah, the wife of Abraham, and we are beginning at Genesis chapter 17. Prayer is your greatest weapon, dear friend. And just before we get started in our study tonight, let us pray. Dear Lord, I just give you glory, honor, and praise tonight. I thank you, Lord God, for being our King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Lord, we realize that we cannot make it without you. Hallelujah. And that each and every day we need to pray. We need to seek your face. And tonight, oh God, we seek your face. We seek to know you more. We seek to draw closer to you. And I pray, oh God, that you would truly open up our understanding as we lean on you for advice, as we lean on you for direction. We pray, oh God, tonight that you would truly move in a special way in our hearts, in our minds, oh God. As we study the word of God tonight, Lord, we give you praise. Thank you, Lord, for being our daddy, for being our Abba Father, for being our everything, oh God, and for teaching us how to pray and how to draw closer to you. And we thank you right now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Dear friend, prayer is truly your greatest weapon. You are in it to win it. When you're faced with challenges in your life, make prayer your first option, not your last. As we even think about 1 Thessalonians 5:16, verse 18, it says, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I want to encourage you. Prayer is your greatest weapon, dear friend. Let's look at Genesis chapter 17. The Bible says, and when Abraham was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. His name was Abram. At this time, it was not being pronounced Abraham. The Lord said to him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee and will multiply thee exceedingly. What we need to understand is that Abraham was an individual who was called by God. And he lived such a pure and an honest life before God that God chose him to be the father of many nations. We understand that he had a wife named Sarah, whose name was also changed to Sarah. And we see that both of them lived a life that was pleasing to God. So God promised Abraham that he would bless him. And our focus tonight, really, I wanted it to be on Sarah, but as I thought more about it, it really included both Abraham and Sarah because of the fact that God communicated so much with Abraham that he really indeed was the person who was praying over his household and praying over his wife, Sarah. But we cannot really study prayer without thinking of Sarah because we know that she must have been praying for God to give her a child. At this time, she was without children when God made this promise to Abraham. The Bible tells us when God spoke with Abraham, he said, I am the Almighty God. So God declared who he was to Abraham. He said, walk before me and be thou perfect. He wanted him to recognize that he needed to walk according to how God wanted him to walk. He says, I will make my covenant between me and thee. God gave him a promise. How many of you, God has made you a promise and you realize that God is going to keep his word to you? The Bible tells us that Abraham fell on his face and God talked with him saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name anymore be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. And I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. This is a talk that God was having with Abraham when he told him that he was changing his name and that he would be the father of many nations. How many of you know that God is changing your name? He is bringing you to a place that you have never been before. And whatever you have need of, God is supplying your need right now. When God spoke with Abram, he had no idea. You know, sometimes when God makes a promise to you, you think in terms of what you can think with your finite mind. There is no way that Abraham even fully understood how God was going to bless him as much as he did. The Bible tells us in verse 6, I'm in Genesis chapter 17, verse 6, and I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. When God told him that he would make him exceeding fruitful, you know, you just think of a whole lot, not realizing that it was going to extend to many, many, many people and generations to come. The Bible tells us in verse 7, and I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. So we see that the promise that God made, that it was not only for him, but it was for those who were not even born yet. When God spoke to Abraham, it was not just for him, but it was a blessing on Sarah as well because she was going to be the mother of those nations. And so we see that Sarah was also a woman that was trustworthy and a woman of faith. And even though we'll see soon that when the angel actually came to them and spoke to them at the time that she needed to have this child, she was a little bit hesitant in her faith. But how many of you know that God chooses people to use that are not always as perfect as we think they should be? God uses broken vessels. He uses those who are imperfect for his glory and for his honor. Sometimes we think that we have to be perfect now in order for God to use us. But I want you to know that you don't have to be perfect for God to use you. God can use you even when you are imperfect. The Bible in verse 8, it says, "And I will give unto thee, to thy seed after thee, the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And God said unto Abraham, Thou shalt keep thy covenant, therefore thou and thy seed after thee in their generation. This is my covenant, which ye shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man child among you shall be circumcised." So we see that Abraham had not even had, you know, Isaac as yet, but God already gave him this covenant that when he had these children, that he was actually going to circumcise them as a covenant between him and. So understand this, that God makes covenant with his people. And when he makes covenant with us, he always keeps his word. And when we make a promise to God, when we surrender our lives to God, God expects us to keep our word towards him, because he never, ever breaks covenant with us. He always keeps his word. And so if you have committed yourself to the Lord, I want you to remember to keep your promise. Never, ever break your promise to God, because God will never stop committing himself to the promise that he made unto his people, to protect them, to bless them, and to continue to bless the seed of Abraham. Hallelujah. The Bible tells us in verse 15, "And God said unto Abraham, As for Sarah thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be." Sarai was spelled capital Sarai, but when her name was changed, it was changed to Sarah, capital Sarah. Look at verse 16. It says, "And I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her." Then in verse 17, the Bible says, "Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed, and said in his heart, Shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? And Abraham said unto God, Oh, that Ishmael might live before thee." Now remember that Hagar had been given to Abraham, but that was not the promised child. The promised child was going to come with Sarah, who is his legitimate wife. And so even though Ishmael received a blessing, the promised child was Isaac, who came through Sarah. And the Bible says in verse 19, "And God said, Sarah thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an covenant, and with his seed after him." So we realize that Hagar had been given to Abraham. She bore Ishmael, but Ishmael was not the promised child. And so God reminded Abraham of this fact, that he was going to receive the covenant blessing through his son, Isaac. Now, I said at the beginning that God uses imperfect people, right? We know that Abraham believed God for many things, but for this particular blessing, he and his wife were just not ready for this blessing because he was already 100 years old. His wife was 90 years old. He was pretty old. She was pretty old. Did not think that at that age they were able to bear children. But God reminded him that he is God. And when God makes a promise to us, it doesn't matter what age we're going to receive it. He makes a promise and he keeps his promise. And so therefore, even though they were up in age, yet still God was going to keep his word and Sarah was going to have a child. Why do I call them imperfect at this particular time? Well, because we're all, you know, vessels, you know, sometimes broken, sometimes not, you know, all that in the presence of God. The only one who is perfect is God himself. And so I consider them imperfect at this particular time because when God spoke to them, sent an angel to talk to them, when she was to have child at this particular time, God was talking directly to Abraham. But when it was time for her to actually bear a child, he actually sent out an angel to talk to them, to remind them of the promise that he had made. And the Bible tells us when we go over, we see that someone actually came to them. The Bible says in chapter 18, and the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground. So we see that God spoke to Abraham a whole lot, but this time he sent angels. They were in the form of three men. In verse 3, it says in chapter 18, the Bible says, and said, my Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread, and comfort ye your hearts. After that ye shall pass on, for therefore are ye come to your servant. And they said, so do as thou hast said. And Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah and said, make ready quickly three measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes upon the heart. Now, I want you to realize that at this time, Abraham probably wasn't even aware that these were angels. But ancient times and even now, I'm sure if you go to the Middle East, there is something that they practice, and it's hospitality to strangers. If someone comes, they will bless them by washing their feet and feeding them. You know, this is hospitality. And so he was giving them hospitality that they give to strangers. And the Bible says that he told his wife to go ahead and prepare something for them to eat and had them fetch water to wash their feet. And verse 7 says, and Abraham ran unto the herd and fetched a calf tender and good and gave it unto a young man, and he hasted to dress it. So part of the hospitality, of course, you fed them. And so he went to get a calf to be killed and to be cooked and prepared to feed them. Look at verse 9. It says, and they said unto him, where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah, thy wife, shall have a son. Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Now, Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of. So we have to understand that Sarah had already gone through menopause. She was no longer, you know, seeing what other young women saw each month. She had already passed all of that. She was in menopause now. And so that's why the Bible says, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. So verse 12 says, therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord, being old also? So in her mind, she was thinking, there is just no way I'm going to have a child. Now, I still put part 4 as Sarah, prayer is your greatest weapon, because even though She laughed when she heard that she was about to have a child in her old age after she had passed menopause. I want you to understand that this woman had been praying for years to have a baby. Imagine that from the time that she was young, she had been praying for a baby, and God chose when she was old to answer her prayers. No one can convince me that all these years that Sarah was not praying. Yes, Sarah prayed all those years for a child. She had almost given on having her baby, but God answered her prayers in her old age. Don't stop praying, friend. Prayer is your greatest weapon. Even though it doesn't specifically say here that she had been praying, and the Bible actually says she laughed at the time when she heard that, yes, her prayers were finally going to be answered, I want you to know that it does not negate the years that she spent praying. Just because she laughed at the time when it was about to come to pass, it doesn't mean that all those years of praying year after year, year after year, even when she went through menopause, she probably had a sparkle of hope left in her until that last time when she saw nothing else happening each month. She kept hope all those years, hoping that she would have a child, praying that she would have a child. What am I saying? I'm saying to you, just because your prayers weren't answered right away, it does not mean that you stop praying. Prayer is your greatest weapon. You're going to see some things come to pass. Why? Because you're going to see God do great things in your life. Why? Because you have been consistently praying. You're going to see miracles happening. Why? Because you have been consistently praying. Don't stop praying. Prayer is your greatest weapon. The Bible says in verse 13, and the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child, which I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Now, of course, in 15, it says, then Sarah denied, saying, I laughed not, for she was afraid. And he said, nay, but thou didst laugh. So, of course, she tried to take back the laugh, but after she laughed, you can't take it back. You can't lie about it. So we see that the angel of God spoke, you know, one of the men, they spoke to him and said, listen, I'm going to come back at the time that she has this child, but realize that she is going to have a child. And is there anything too hard for the Lord? Can I ask you, dear friend, is there anything too hard for the Lord to do in your life? Do you realize that God has great things in store for you? Do you realize that whatever you pray, that God can answer your prayer? It may not come immediately. You might not see the answer immediately, but realize you must continue praying because God has heard your prayers. Hallelujah. After all these years of praying, of trusting God, Sarah is about to have her child. I don't know what you have been praying about all these years. I don't know what you have been believing God for. But understand this, that God has not forgotten you. Realize that if you would just consistently believe God, consistently trust God, going to work out. Why? Because it happened for Sarah. If it happened for Sarah, it will happen for you. You know that God is with you. You know that God has been holding your hand. You know that God has been directing your steps. And so, don't stop believing God now, dear friend. You have believed God all these years. Continue believing. Continue holding on. Continue keeping your faith. Because God is with you. The Bible says, is there anything too hard for the Lord? And my response is no. Your response should be no. There is nothing too hard for God to do. So I want to encourage you to hold up your head, to continue praying, to continue believing, whatever it is that you are believing God for. Now, let me qualify this, because sometimes people believe God for the wrong thing. If you are with someone who is not your spouse, you're with someone else's wife, okay, that's not appropriate. If you're a man that's with someone else's wife, that's not appropriate. If you're a woman that's with someone else's husband, that's not appropriate. And so we're not going to pray with you about fornication or adultery, trying to live in that. What we would pray with you about is coming out of that. We would pray with you to help you to get out of the sin, not to continue in your sin. And so that's why I need to qualify that, for you to understand that when we pray with you, we're praying with you to help you to live in a way that gives glory to God. And so if you're trying to get a prayer request through, realize that check what you're praying for. Make sure that it's according to God's will for your life. Sometimes we pray what we want to pray, but we have to pray according to God's will for our lives. God, what is your will for my life? What do you want me to do? How do you want me to live? How shall I live so that I can bring glory to you? We can't just live any way, glory. We have to live clean lives. That means that we have to be careful what we put into our bodies. We have to be careful how we present ourselves to make sure that the fruit of our lives are giving God glory, that whatever it is, the fruits are giving God glory. We want to give God glory in every area of our lives. And so when we pray, we're praying God to direct us. We're praying God to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We're praying and asking God to sanctify our hearts and to sanctify our minds. We're saying, God, your will be done. Hallelujah. Your will be done in my life. Now, I see that Sarah had been praying for a while. Year after year went by and she was childless, but she kept on believing God. And it looks like at some point when she got past menopause, and the reason why I say that is because when the angels came and said she was going to have a child, she laughed. Dear friend, Sarah almost missed out on her blessing because she laughed at the promise of God just when God was about to bless her. I want to encourage you, don't laugh at the promises of God just when God is about to bless you, but hold on, keep trusting, keep believing, because your time of blessing is coming to pass. God is answering your prayers. God is bringing to pass the things that you have been praying about, and this is your time to walk in faith. Walk in faith, dear friend. We walk what? By faith. You may not see it yet, but your blessing is on the way. Your blessing is on the way. I'm so happy for Sarah that before the end of her days, she was able to see God bring to pass what she had been praying about in her younger years. Some of us had all types of big dreams in our younger years, and we, you know, have gotten older, and we're saying, man, am I going to miss out? Is God still not going to bless me? Yes, he is still going to bless you. He is still going to bless you. He did it for Sarah, and he'll do it for you. God is still going to bless you, dear friend. Don't give up. Hold on to your hope. Hold on to your faith, because God is still going to bless you. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Too hard for God. And so as we get ready to close this message today, prayer is your greatest weapon. I want to pray with you. I want to agree with you. In your faith walk, I want to agree with you that God has already answered your prayers, and that when you pray, you will learn to pray according to his will and not just pray these random prayers, and that you will be specific when you pray. because God is going to bless you right now. Let us pray. Dear Lord, I come to you right now trusting you and honoring you for what you have already done, for what you're about to do for your people, oh God. I trust you completely, oh God, because our lives are in your hands. We cannot do anything without you. We can't move to the right or to the left without you. And I pray tonight, oh God, for all those who are listening from around the world, that you would just walk them through the process of knowing how to pray, knowing how to believe you, knowing how to just put their trust in you. I pray, oh God, that you would bring out, Lord, that prayer life, oh God, that we are all needing, to begin to pray more, to begin to fast more, to begin to seek your face more, oh God. I pray for your people that they would hear and answer the call of God on their lives, oh God. You know each and every one of us. Hallelujah. You've called us by name, oh God, and we thank you, hallelujah, for bringing us this far, Lord God, trusting you. I pray for those who are grieving right now that you would give special strength, special comfort. I pray for those who are sick right now that you would heal. I rebuke migraines right now in the name of Jesus. Someone has a torn ligament right now. You're healing it in the name of Jesus. Someone injured their left wrist, oh God. I'm speaking over that left wrist right now. As that person begins to move that left wrist right now, healing is coming back in that arm. Lord, healing is coming back into that wrist right now in the name of Jesus. Someone accidentally slammed, you know, their thumb in the door. Lord God, I thank you that you're healing that thumb right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I thank you, Lord God, for that one that's being healed right now with the neck pain. Lord God, going down into their lower back. Lord God, I pray, oh God, for that injury that they had. Lord God, that you just begin healing, that healing process right now in the name of Jesus. I thank you right now, Lord God, for that one that's having problem with their shoulders right now, God, that you would just begin to heal in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And I speak against, oh God, cancer in the name of Jesus. Be healed. Be healed right now in the name of Jesus. Ah, in the name of Jesus, be healed. Feel the presence of God from the crown of your head to the sole of your feet, flowing through your body right now. Be healed in the name of Jesus. I thank you right now, Lord God, those who have arthritis, that you're healing arthritis right now in the name of Jesus. Someone has really stiff limbs right now, but Lord God, you're going through their body, Lord God, and easing the pain and the rigors of that arthritis right now in the name of Jesus. I thank you right now. Someone is having trouble with their memory, oh God. You're healing right now. You're going to help them to remember some things that they haven't been able to remember in a long time. Lord God, be healed in the name of Jesus. Be healed, dear friend, in the name of Jesus. Whatever it is that you have need of right now, why don't you stretch out in faith with me and believe God for your healing. Believe God for your touch right now, for God is touching you right now. Jesus is walking into your room right now. The presence of God, you feeling the presence of God right now in the name of Jesus. Sababa kosata. Hallelujah. Feel the presence of God right now. As you begin to worship, as you begin to praise God, you will feel the presence of God walking into your room right now. Hallelujah. Don't be afraid. That is the presence of God that you're feeling. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The anointing of God is falling on you right now. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Be fully restored in the name of Jesus. If you have found yourself straying away from God, be restored right now in the name of Jesus. Draw close to God, for God is drawing close to you. He has never left you in the first place. God is still there, and he is waiting on you with open arms to come, hallelujah, to come right now. Be healed. Be healed. Be restored, hallelujah, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Osababasa kotororobosa, be healed, in the name of Jesus. Bekida babasa kotororobosa, be healed. Hallelujah. Be healed right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. The presence of God. Hallelujah. I feel the presence of God right now, even as I pray over you, even as I stress my faith with you, believing God for your touch. Hallelujah. Upon your legs, your arms. Hallelujah. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I speak against diabetes right now. In the name of Jesus. And someone needs a kidney right now. Be healed in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And if you've got COVID, be healed in the name of Jesus. Full restoration in the name of Jesus. I thank you right now, Lord. I give you praise. For that one that's being healed right now, for that one that's being touched right now, healed in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just before we go, I want to play this song for you. Where Would I Be? Second Chance Ministry. Steady your heart. Hallelujah.
Nothing, not even God wouldn't find me. Black like a night and my garments dirty. Man, me stuck like chuck run out a lot of no money. But you, Jehovah, God love him, pick me. Wouldn't sit back and make faith and test my time. Send Jesus to figure out that Calvary. Now me see you grace, love and mercy. So where would I be without your mercy? Where would I be without your grace? Where would I be without your love? And tip up me shoes, please. Jump on the ground and chip up all me face. When me look, everything jump out of place. But early one Sunday morning, down a hiking factory, me and every day working. Turn on the radio, it was very inspiring when me hear these words from Danny McClurkin. When me say, make up my mind. Be brush off myself and get back in line. A place of repentance was right.
Praise the Lord. Where would I be without your mercy? Where would I be without your love? I want to play one more for you when we all get to heaven.
We are.
Rejoicing that will be. God bless you, dear friend. As I get ready to go, may the peace of God be with you.
You realize that God loves you very much, that he has never left in you. Remember, prayer is your greatest weapon.
Prayer is your greatest weapon. Once again, as I get ready to go, I want to encourage you to trust the Lord.
Realize that you are never alone.
You are never alone, for God is with you. God is with you. Once again, our theme song, You Heart Blake, Second Chance Ministry, Nothing.